Eurobeat Brony was accused today of murdering an entire genre of music. By infusing themes from the show My Little Pony Friendship is Magic into Eurobeat nearly 6 years ago, he began a slow degradation of the genre, resulting in its death in 2017. Eurobeat, as a genre, was 31. On to you, Fuzz.
Satisfy you. We're children.
Have to do our own little dad.
All right. Well, welcome to Knotcast episode 343. Cuckumbers. I'm Savern.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And boy, howdy. So we were at dinner, and so there's, I think last week it was, we talked about cuck grapes, raisins, right?
Yeah.
And cuck carts.
Right.
And of course, what other horrible, stupid things? And at dinner, we'd gotten our burger order mixed up, and I got someone else's burger, and they got mine, and it's like, this one has pickles on it. And then my brain goes in, pickles, more like cut cucumbers. And I went, brain, why do you think such things? And then Fuzz was like, well, it's gonna have to say it again on the show.
Yeah.
So there we go. Hi, Fuzz, how are you?
Amused.
Yes. So.
Oh, I'm gonna put my phone on silent.
Okay, yes, almost don't want your phone vibrating. We have a whole list of topics this week.
And so, I don't know what they all are, so this will be interesting.
Oh, well, I mean, if there's anything, this is all stuff that I put in because I thought of it. If there's anything that I missed that you want to bring up, let me know, Fuzz.
Okay.
This is not the Savern Show with Fuzz's color commentary. Unless it is. Who runs Not Cast Town?
Barter. Master.
So,
Masturbator runs Not Cast Town.
Nice. So I actually do want to talk about something that it's me related. So I'm not out to.
This isn't your audio blog.
No, this is my podcast. That's just kind of an audio blog, except it's not.
It's a cuck blog.
Fuzz.
We're cuck casting.
So
podcast? Don't you mean a cuck radio show?
Oh. Damn it, Fuzz. There you go. You got a damn it, Fuzz, this week.
So that pained look has made the last 343 episodes worth it.
So I've said in the past that I'm not out to my extended family, right?
Right.
Because it's not useful, right? Like, my dad's side of the family, bunch of racists, don't see him, don't interact with him, don't need him. Mm-hmm. Mom's side of the family, mostly okay. Part of them are, whatever. But they're up in Missouri. Which is a bit of a drive, and I barely ever see them. Like, I hadn't seen our grandfather for several years at this point, but he's, like, 86 and not in good health. So they're coming down, seeing all the grandkids, et cetera, keeping the peace, right? So I spent the day with them the other day, and I'm like, all right, how can I make it so that they don't come to my apartment? How can I make it so they don't have to deal with them? And
it's getting fumigated right now. Sorry.
Yeah, it's full of weed.
If I go home, I'll die. So it was nice knowing you.
So we were like, all right, we're going to go to Dickie's and they won't be leftovers and I can fuck off. Mm-hmm. No, instead, my mom was like, no, Heart 8. So we went to Heart 8 Barbecue, which is really, really good. But you get big portions. It's expensive.
Here's a whole cow. Enjoy.
And so everybody ended up ordering more than they could eat.
Mm-hmm.
Except for me, because I know what I'm doing. But they're like, oh, you've got a fridge. We can just stuff all your stuff, and we're going to go over into the fridge, and we're going to go to Harry Hines, which is a Asian import shops and whatever. So that all happens. They come to the apartment. I like y'all wait here. Skitter inside, shove things in the fridge, come out. All right, let's go. Because, you know, I'm not asking these people. Like, come in. If they all wander in, oh, you've got a two-bedroom apartment. That's nice. Why is there only one bed? And why is the other room an office?
Why is there only one bed?
And
as they realize.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, with my car woes, my aunt apparently knows somebody who is like an insurance adjuster, blah blah, and wanted photos of my car and photos of the couple of insurance estimates
your
that
car?
I got.
Do you mean your car?
Fuzz.
I'll stop. I'm just fucking mad. I couldn't help it.
And so I dutifully did so, and I take photos of the, you know, everything. And then after I've sent them, I like an hour and a half or 2 hours after I send them, I go, uh-oh. And I look at the front, and listed as the primary insured is Panther's real name.
Mm-hmm.
And my name as the owner of the vehicle. Huh.
And worse than that, the photo of your car has two people fucking on the hood.
Yeah, you know, it was just one of those things. Like, it's like, hey, this was pretty hot. Like,
it's really hard to see the dents, but...
you know, we thought the action was hot enough. But that was one of those things.
It's how that hole got in your bumper. I just couldn't control myself.
It was a fucking dragon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But no aftermath.
No aftermath. No, nothing yay or nay. I haven't heard from my mom going, holy shit, you know, your aunt has just flipped the fuck out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those moments of, oh, dear. I mean, I'm not beholden to them or anything, and I don't see them often. So if they don't like me, whatever.
Yeah.
But, oh, I've done so well. And then to be like, lol, whoops, it's...
Yeah.
It's impressive and kind of annoying. But c'est la vie. That is...
These things happen.
Yep. But, you know, other than that, it's been all right around here, at least for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Week's a week.
We're surviving. So far, so good.
Yeah.
So, yesterday was International Women's Day. And
oh, God, I thought you said International Weapons Day. I misheard you there.
No.
International Women's
Day.
Yes, absolutely.
And, man, social media is a great way to know who to never talk to again.
I know.
It's just one of those, wow.
Your block list grew 3 sizes that day.
It's how it feels sometimes, right?
Yeah.
It's like you see these people that are like, oh, you seem okay, and then like, Women's Day, why? And it's like, oh, my God. Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all right, well, I'm not going to deal with you anymore. And seriously, yeah, like I said, there was a couple people that are just like, well, there was some YouTuber, right? Oh, it's always some fucking YouTuber that posts like, hashtag day without a woman. It's like, peace and quiet. And needlessly, people are like, wow, that's shitty. And their legion, it's just a joke, it's just a joke, God, take a joke, oh, here come the fun police. And it's like, no, maybe you should not be an asshole.
Yeah.
And like, you're trying to get your edgy points, but you seriously, like, this YouTuber guy, I'm not going to name names because I don't remember the name from my head.
Basically, they have a lot more followers and they can destroy us.
What the fuck ever, right? it's like, oh no, what are they going to do? Give us a low rating for being a... What, Bestiality podcast run by 12-year-olds is one of our 1-star reviews refers to us as. But that's ancient. Like, we don't need any fresh 1-star reviews.
Ancient times.
Yes. I mean, we were pretty bad back then. We've gotten a lot better over time.
We're still pretty funny.
Yeah. We're funny. We're just bad in some ways. Anyways. But, like, this person got all defensive and super butthurt. But to the point that they're like, yeah, this person's not going to go to PAX East anymore because they would be a distraction. Like, they had to drop out of a live show of their, like, some panel at PAX East because they're, like, wow. They stepped in it that hard. And the company that they work with was like, you stay there.
Yeah.
It's like, maybe you shouldn't try being an edgy dipshit because that has repercussions.
Yeah, you know, I think the lesson everyone needs to learn is don't be a shitty person.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you'll do so much better in life.
It's just, you know, the road to shit. You do... play shitty games, win shitty prizes. In this case, this guy's prize was that he had to not go to a panel at the literally biggest gaming convention on the planet.
Yeah.
PAX East is the biggest gaming convention on the planet now. It eclipsed PAX Prime in like a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And you know, it's here in Texas, it's like what, 65,000, 80,000. There it's like 150. It's fucking huge.
It's pretty big. That's even bigger than Anthrocon.
Yeah, just a bit. But it's just like, come on, dudes. And for the most part, you just... It's like, I've gotten a lot better about curating my Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, like, oh, this person made a shitty comment. Like, oh, this person's idea of trans bathroom stuff is that they should just fucking hold it till they get home. Well, unfollowed.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah, if I saw anybody saying that on my Twitter feed, that'd be a fucking unfollow,
like,
right away.
It's like, oh, hey, go fuck yourself, right?
Yeah. Then you have people that, like, you kind of suspect that they're shitty, but you don't know for sure. And then they slip up and they say something in public and you're like, ah, confirmed shittiness. I knew it. I knew it all along.
Like, oh, turns out that a good fursuit can't mask a shitty person forever. Right? And then there was, since, what, March is Women's Month, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
There's a hashtag going on. It's like last month was for Black Furry History Month, right?
Yes.
And then this week you have Female Fursuiter Month.
Right.
And there's been some dipshits posting in that one, too.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I thought women, like, all fursuiters were equal. It's like, ah, dude.
Literally saying all fursuits matter? Really? Yeah.
Hashtag all fursuits matter.
Jesus.
It's like, come on, dudes. Really? It's like, consider in our fandom that, like, women are still a really big minority.
Yeah.
And
I think it's like 2/3, 1/3 now.
Yeah, something like that. It's, they're still a pretty big minority. Like, we're doing way better than, say, anime in a lot of regards like that.
We're doing better than furry 20 years ago.
Oh, for sure. That's an interesting thought. Mm. I wonder what the demographics of the leadership of conventions is around here in the furry fandom and the demographic breakup.
I don't know. I know con chairs, mostly men.
Yeah.
FC has a female con chair.
Okay.
I think she was chair last year and this year. I'm not sure.
It was just one of those other moments. We're talking about, you know, the people who make the fandom go, whatever. It's like...
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, we have Shiva, right? And she's board of directors, the present board of directors, and also on staff. And I'm like, there's not that many... How many other... what women are there at con chairs? Huh.
There's a lot of the arts are heavily influenced by women, though.
Yeah.
Like, the creative community is probably more diverse than the general population.
Yeah. But in any event, the hashtag Female Fursuiter Month has basically a bunch of women who are fursuiters posting pics and stuff and talking about it. And, of course, there's dipshits, but there's always going to be dipshits.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's cool. There was a, there was an infographic that I thought you had posted, but the, someone else had, but it was like,
oh,
when did the searches for International Men's Days spike? International Women's Day.
Yeah.
And it's like, why don't we have a Men's Day? You do. It's in November or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody pointed it out. They're like, there is one. Now shut the fuck up, because you little bitches wouldn't shut up about it.
Yep. Hashtag not all international days.
God. Look at people.
We're old.
Are we becoming old and grouchy?
I don't know. But here, Panther is waiting outside the door, about to send me a missive that I must read. though there was something... That actually something you posted about work and signing with male versus female names.
That was it. Was an interesting Twitter thread.
Pull that shit up, please. Talk.
Oh, okay.
This is where you get to talk briefly. Ah.
Okay, let me go to my Twitter and I'll find the person's name.
Because they actually did like a Storify of it, so you can read the whole thing in one big uninterrupted stream.
Yeah.
Let me find it on my end as well, because.
So you can read along.
Yup.
Okay, so this guy's name is Martin Schneider. His tweet handle is Schneid Remarks, and he works in some kind of IT, and he has a woman coworker. Okay, so he says, so here's a little story of the time at Nicky Nax, who's his coworker, taught me how impossible it is for professional women to get the respect they deserve. Nicole and I worked for a small employment service firm, and one complaint always came from our boss. She took too long to work with clients. This boss was an efficiency, fetishizing, gig economy-loving douchebag, but that's another story. As for supervisor, I considered this a minor nuisance at best. I figured the reason I got things done faster was from having more experience. But I got stuck monitoring her time and nagging her on the boss's behalf. We both hated it, and she tried so hard to speed up with good work. So one day, I'm emailing a client back and forth about his resume, and he is just being impossible. Rude, dismissive, ignoring my questions, telling me his methods were the industry standards. They weren't, and I couldn't understand the terms he... And saying I couldn't understand the terms he used. I could. He was entertainment industry, too, an industry I know pretty well. Anyway, I was getting sick of his shit when I noticed something. Thanks to our shared inbox, I'd been signing all communications as Nicole. It was Nicole he was being rude to, not me. So out of curiosity, I said, hey, this is Martin. I'm taking over this project for Nicole. Immediate improvement. Positive reception, thanking me for suggestions, responds promptly, saying great questions, became a model client. Note, my technique and advice never changed. The only difference was that I had a man's name now. So I asked Nicole if this happened all the time. Her response, I mean, not all the time, but yeah, a lot. We did an experiment. For 2 weeks, we switched names. I signed all client emails as Nicole. She signed as me. Folks, it fucking sucked. I was in hell. Everything I asked or suggested was questioned. Clients I could do in my sleep were condescending. One asked if I was single. Nicole had the most productive week of her career. I realized the reason she took longer is because she had to convince clients to respect her. By the time she could get clients to accept that she knew what she was doing, I could get halfway through another client. I wasn't any better at the job than she was. I just had this invisible advantage. I showed the boss, and he didn't buy it. I told him that was fine, but I was never critiquing her speed with clients again. He conceded that battle, but found ways to hound us both on time and other matters. But again, that's a different story. Here's the real fucked up thing for me. The real fucked up thing, excuse me. For me, this was shocking. For her, she was used to it. She just figured it was part of the job. I mean, she knew she was being treated different for being a woman. She's not dumb. She just took it in stride. Anyway, I'm bad at knowing when to end Twitter threads, but yeah, fucked up, right?
Yep, that's fucked up.
And that's one of those cases of a guy not really knowing, like, how bad shit is and then having, like, a moment of realization or a thing happened where your eyes are kind of opened.
That actually happens?
Yeah, which I talked about mine, and this was this guy's. And, you know, it's something that a lot of men don't really know until something kind of puts them in that position to sort of see what it's like.
So the bottom line is, hey, don't be shit to women. Like, try, don't, okay? Just don't.
Yeah.
So moving on from,
but I'll try to amuse you with a blowjob comment here. So this is a tweet from Text from last night, which is at TFLN on Twitter, where they just tweet text messages that people submit them, and they just put the area code. So this text is, his boxer smelled like clean laundry while I was giving him head. It was delightful, like sucking a dick in a spring meadow.
Nice. So I got to find that thing about Emma Watson real quick.
Oh, that'd be on my Twitter account.
Yep. It's on yours. And so some dipshit's like, Emma Watson promotes furry degeneracy. So pro tip, anybody that uses the phrase degeneracy in a serious manner is probably not somebody you should follow.
I thought they meant it tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Because I would say furry degenerate, but...
But you were saying it tongue-in-cheek because you say it in context and people understand you. Yeah. Whereas this person has the description of gender-speckled, omnisexual, shape-shifting, quadridike, cyborg, ken, dumbfuck. So they're not a real nice person. But basically, they posted two screen caps of an article. Emma Watson reveals she's attracted to fictional animals in real life. While discussing Beauty and the Beast to the Yahoo reporters, Emma made a rather shocking admission. She finds Aslan, the lion based on Jesus Christ from C.S. Lewis' Chronicle of Narnia series, hot. After making the monstrous reveal, Emma immediately wondered whether she should have shared that with the world, going on to state, is that wrong? Is that okay? Probably not. No, it's not okay. It's not okay. I'm getting shaking heads. Trying to make her attraction to fictional four-legged creatures seem more legit, she followed her statement up with, it happens. Sometimes animals in films are hot. I don't know what to say. That's where we're at. That's where we're at indeed.
Yes.
Well, and, you know, I'm going to say Nala, right?
Yeah.
Or, you know, who, or Maid Marian. Who is it you said that had, like, admitted that Maid Marian was one of their...
Liam Neeson.
Yeah. So...
coincidentally, the voice of Aslan.
Yeah, I mean, it could just be that, you know, she's attracted to Liam Neeson in all of his majestic forms, but, you know, he would be the biggest dick lion in the world.
True.
Because, yep, everything's... How big is Liam Neeson's cock?
Well, his lightsaber.
Yep. It wasn't the lamppost that the kids were drawn to. God. Oh, man.
But, so, yeah, oh, and the other one was it Eddie Redmayne, who cited Nala as his first boner.
Nala was like, you know, had the moniker hottest thing on four legs in the Lion King fandom, you know, but everybody forgets about Sarabi, the MILF, the lion MILF.
Yeah, that's their next movie. And then, like, Disney goes into making adult sequels to all of their classics. They're like, we can capitalize on the nostalgia by reminding 30 and 40 year olds of the movies they watched in the 90s. So it'll be like, yeah, the lioness you want to fuck, the lion MILF coming or soon.
The kangaroo rat from Rescuers Down Under.
Jake, yes. Jake,
or... let's see. I'm trying to think of, like, notable, like, you know, you could have the captain from
Treasure Planet. I've forgotten her. Oh yeah, the captain from Adventure Planet was good.
Amelia.
The girl dog. I don't remember her name in Oliver and Company.
Dixie?
Was it Dixie? I think she was like an Afghan hound.
Yeah, I think that was her. Yeah. Like, there's plenty of characters that people get weird boners over, but.
Gadget.
Yeah.
You know, I'd fuck Dodger too.
Dodger?
The main dog in Oliver and Company.
Oh, right. I was like, wait, what?
The kind of mutt character.
I was gonna say there was the bat character that was like had the hots for Chip in Rescue Rangers.
Oh yeah, she was kind of cute. Name. Yeah.
It was like Foxglove or something like that. Something silly.
It was sex glove.
Yeah.
Wait, well, that's a condom.
Never mind. The pink bat that wanted to fuck
Chip. Yeah, like, there's lots of porn of her and Gadget, like, double-teaming Chip's chipmunk dick. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's like having crushes on fictional characters is not really... I saw someone else that was like, God, I want Kovu to fuck me. And it was, like, this half-lidded in-between frame of Kovu from Lion King 2 with, like, fuck me eyes. And they're like, God, I want him to fuck me. It's like, all right, well, you know, whatever floats your boat, right?
Ooh, Grammy Gummy. I just want her to bake me up in a pie.
So I will also say, I'm going to put this art idea out there, artist listeners. Legend, L-O-Z, Breath of the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Judy in Nick's tunic, riding Nick, who looks annoyed.
Yes.
There you go. Somebody draw that shit. Get on it. So, moving on to less furry topics, but more like video game stuff. This is where you get to fall asleep real quick, Fuzz. It's okay.
Okay.
Just go ahead and doze off. It's all right. So, went to the Bishop Cider Cade on Sunday. Bishop Cider is a Dallas-based cider company that has a barcade. Okay, Fuzz, stop.
Huh?
So it's $10 entry. It's on just south of 635 near the
hospital. That is a cheap hoe.
Yep. And they've got all sorts of arcade machines. So there's a couple of good free play arcades here in Dallas. There's the Richardson Free Play Arcade. There's now one in Arlington. And now they have this Bishop Cidercade. They've got a pretty good selection of machines, too. They had both a 4-player and a 6-player X-Men. They had 10-player Killer Queen. They had a couple of Guitar Hero machines. They had a DDR. God damn it, hiccups. Fuck.
Important news. Just posted 51 seconds ago. Night in the Woods 3-volume 100-plus song soundtrack was just posted Bandcamp.
Neat.
So it's at infiniteammo.bandcamp.com.
Important.
Yes.
Because... that's a neat game.
Also video game related.
Yes. I got cups on my ears. We tweeted that from the podcast account here earlier today, but so too did the official game account.
Yeah.
Retweet the animation that someone did of Greg.
Then there's the other one. It's like, I've got cups in my cups in my cups in my cups.
Yeah, they go to the ceiling.
Also, important news of the world. Radwesker just tweeted, let's be real for a minute, guys. Global warming is caused by the dank hotness of furry porn.
Oh, well, there's no stopping it then. We're all doomed.
Yeah.
The furries are just humans in the future that adapted, I guess. I don't know. But they've got a bunch of cool shit. It's $10 to get in. They've got a 4-player-linked Mario Kart Arcade 2. Their cider prices are a bit high. It's $6 per thing. They got 6 or 10 different ciders on tap. But you basically go there if you want to play some Vidja for a while. We've been on a Sunday, and it wasn't super busy, so you could actually play most of the games. But check them out on Facebook.
I do love this guy's header, the gay dogs.
Gay dogs? Wow.
That's the artist that toasted the Greg Rules.
Yeah. And speaking also of video games, I really, really, really want to play Zelda. So if anybody has a Wii U that's just gathering dust they no longer want, hit me up. I might buy it off you. Because I really want to play Zelda, and I've had to stop myself from watching streams because I'm like, man, I really...
Yeah, because if you eventually get it,
like, if I go to a store and I see a fucking Switch on a shelf, I'd be tempted to buy it.
Mm-hmm.
But because I've seen some streams and, like, I don't know where the fuck these people are, but I'm like, oh, it looks cool. Oh, they're solving puzzles. Oh, fuck. Oh no. And then you have, like, you've solved the puzzle, but then they're, like, fucking around and going, like, no! No, you're supposed to do this, but you can't say as much or they'll ban you from their chat. Like, you need to ride the gear up and not, oh no, you're fucking it up. Ah.
Game over, man. Game over.
Or getting...
R.I.P. Bill Paxton.
Oh, man. Well, like, there was this one where this guy was trying to climb up this really sheer fucking face and he missed this ledge where he could have stopped and regained his stamina by, like, a foot. And he fell, like, 300 feet into a lake and drowned. I was just like, no! Oh, God, no! Go to the right, no! Ah!
I was watching this fucking stream of Night in the Woods, and I've just watched, like, the first hour or so, and it was just so irritating, because, like, the fucking dialogue is like, Angus works at this place. May needs to get her laptop fixed. She should go to the store where Angus works. He walks right by the store. It's got the little symbol that says you can walk into the store. And he's like, maybe I'll go over here. And the game's like, you should go get your laptop fixed. He's like, I don't know where to go. And I'm just like, go to the store where Angus works. Ah! It's like the video store.
Yeah.
And and he goes and he talks to Greg like 3 more times. And I'm just like... It was annoying. I don't know if I can keep watching.
Well, like, I haven't
watched a lot of Let's Plays. This is like the first one, really.
I had that happen when I was streaming Undertale. That was a marathon session.
Mm-hmm.
And I got stuck on the one puzzle in Hotland.
In Hotlanta?
Yeah, and nobody was giving me any hints. And
mm-hmm.
Eventually someone came and was like, look, just do this. I'm like, oh, thank fuck. Because I was stuck on this one stupid little moving puzzle for a long-ass time. And I was like, all right, so one of you motherfuckers tell me. And they told me, like, oh, fine.
I don't know if I could, like, I don't even know how, like, artists stream while they're working. Like, to me, if I was, like, drawing or writing or something, I would want to do it in private. And, like, that's, like, a personal thing that you don't, like, show until you're ready for feedback, basically. And, like, playing a video game, I can't imagine the pressure of, like, playing it in public and having, like, other people judge you, you know? Yeah. Well, you know more about it because you've actually done it. To me, it doesn't seem fun. Like, if I'm going to do some fun recreational thing, I don't want
to
be like...
You know, if you're having fun, you try to make it fun for people to watch it. And you're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I suppose it's people that are doing that aren't just doing it because they enjoy playing the game. It's part of the getting your audience and stuff like that.
My PC is cursed.
Yes.
Right? And I had my water cooler die on me. So, thankfully, I was at my iMac and working and... Then I noticed that my PC woke up on its own, and the light on the water cooler block turned red, and I opened the system monitor.
It's handy that it does that.
And the processor was pinging near 100°C. Oh, shit, I say, and turn that fucker off. Like, so I don't have any thermal damage or anything, odds are, because it was like I caught it immediately.
Yeah.
But basically just the fucking water cooler pump died, and I was thankfully home working on shit when this did. But like,
so was your I guess your PC was on, but just like it was idle. Okay.
Yeah, because you know,
wouldn't they have some kind of thing that I always think that when it clocks a certain temperature, it should automatically
shut down. But at that point, you can start getting damage before it does that.
Okay.
Like emergency shutdown happens when it pings like past like 128 or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, and at that point, your thing is literally boiling, and that's not good. But I shut it down manually, and it has stayed shut down. And when you try to reboot it, it's like, hell, your fan's fucking working. You can't get past the BIOS screen.
Which sort of like it would damage it if I were just to...
Yeah. And
I don't even know what this is. What is it?
It's a RAM chip.
It's a RAM chip.
So damn RAM chip for a laptop.
8,192 megs.
Yep, it's an 8 gig SODIMM chip. It probably tastes better than Nintendo Switch cartridge, that's for sure.
Yeah. I'm threatening to eat his RAM chips because I like chips.
Yeah, chips are great. But thankfully, thanks to friends who are basically computer dealers, I've already got an RMA.
It makes it sound like he's going to open up a trench coat and have like a bunch of laptops hanging from the inside of it.
Well, he recently had like some GTX 970s coming to his land in his lap.
Fell off the truck.
He's like, hey, what are you buying? You know, but yeah. Because he deals with them a lot, he already has an RMA shipping. Like they're doing the reverse option where like they ship me the new unit and I ship them the old.
Yeah.
So like it'll show up. Once it does, I pop that fucker out, put the new one in. Actually, I might just like, you come over and do that.
Yeah.
Come on, Sentry. Do me a solid here.
Yeah.
I don't want to break my computer.
Yeah.
But I had that, like, the power supply I got initially from Amazon was bad, and now this water cooler went bad. It's like, ugh. PCs. But then I say that, and, well, AppleCare paid for itself, like, 7-8 times over over the course of my iMac.
They've replaced fucking everything on that iMac.
Yeah. Screen and...
everything that's anger. Not the actual shell of the thing.
Like, you know, AppleCare is good. Like, that's the one thing that, like... is super good, is Apple's customer service is really good when it comes to, like, if you buy, like, an iMac.
I hear they're geniuses.
Nah. But, unfortunately, their iMacs don't suit what I want. But going back to the streaming thing, my iMac can't run, like, the vast majority of my games that I'm doing right now. So I was, like, halfway through a 400 light year run to a place in Elite Dangerous with 16 tons of mugs from Hutton Orbital, and I'm parked at a space station like partway between here and there, and I'm just like, oh, that's gonna wait until I get the fixed.
Can't play damn it.
Like, I'm in the middle of something. Fuck,
you should have kept playing it and be like, ah, the warp core's destabilizing, but I gotta deliver these mugs.
Yeah. Well, they're a rare commodity that increases in value the further you take them away. So it's like, I traveled 400 light years to give you this mug from Hutton Orbital. It's video game stuff. Don't worry about it, Fuzz. But I've been playing...
It's sci-fi as far as...
Yeah, it's super sci-fi. The joke being, like, the mugs from Hutton Orbital are made from the ships that couldn't make the run there. Because to get to Hutton Orbital, it is a 90 to 115-minute flight.
Mm-hmm.
In a straight line. So basically, it's right off of Alpha Centauri, which is the closest star to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But this is on Alpha Centauri B, a distant star that is technically in the same constellation, but it's too small for you to jump in at normally. Mm-hmm. Because of the way the frameshift drives work in the Elite Dangerous game, you basically have to fling yourself at a large enough gravity well to push yourself out of frameshift. Which is why you come in super fucking hot right at a star. But this one's too fucking small for you to do so. So to get from there, from Alpha Centauri A to Alpha Centauri B, you have to literally point your ship in the direction and fly in a straight line for, in my case, 100 minutes.
What you do is you have somebody fly around a galaxy and leave foxes at various points. Oh. And their black holes will be a big enough gravity well. You could drag a ship anywhere.
Yeah. Well, in any event, I was watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Distance. Like, I would, you know, make sure, because it's not going to go to sleep. I'm doing shit on my iMac and looking over, like, all right, I still have 20 minutes of flight time left. Time for another episode of something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there we go. Made it. Loaded up in mugs. Back off.
Is your main search going?
Yep.
Mm.
But I've played a couple of really good rounds of Binding of Isaac, and I was like, I totally would have loved to record those fuckers or maybe streamed them because they were really fun, but no. Mm-hmm. My computer ain't working right now. So it's cursed. Mm. Whatever.
It is indeed.
Not really. So at this point, we're going to stop and save and go on to emails. We do have a few.
Okay.
And we'll just get right to it. Wow. Huh. We have several. Cool. We'll be right back. And we're back. Tell us, Fuzz, what horrors of the internet await us?
So, breaking news. Joseph Nicolosi, the modern father of the torture known as ex-gay therapy, has died.
Fuck him.
Matt Baum comments, that's a shame. Maybe the right therapist can talk him out of being dead.
Ha! Fuck him. That's all we have to say about that.
Yeah, fuck that guy. That's really it. Another commenter said, has he tried not being dead?
He just needs to find the right living person to be with. I would Sips tea, except I've got Coke Zero here in a Whataburger cup.
But that's none of my business, Sips Coke Zero.
Sips Coke Zero, accidentally inhales it, hacks for 3 minutes on podcast. 10-10, best show ever. So, we are going to go into the emails. As always, you can email us at notcast@foxstuffers.com. You can go to notcast.com and it'll redirect you to our Tumblr where you can ask us questions anonymously or ask us via Tumblr. It works either way. And we will read your show. Read your stuff. We'll read your shit, yo. Yeah. I accidentally forgot how to word there briefly.
The return of Shiva.
Yeah. Phoenix, talk too quick. We trip on our ears.
Yep.
And at that, when we trip on our ears, it's quite the nightmare. So, here's a email that's just titled Buckets and Buckets of Squirtle Cum. Hello, Notcast. It's Raven out in Oklahoma. Hope you are having a fantastic time getting ready for TFF, and I wish you all a happy Employee Appreciation Day. May all of your listeners laugh at the email subject and also testicular mayhem. Have a wonderful day. See you all at TFF, and Saverin has a smoking hot bod. Hookers, Raven.
Sounds like you're going to get some at Furry Fiesta.
I am a fan. Yay! Fan. One ding.
You've leveled up.
I have a fan. But yeah, I mean, consider that, you know, I imagine that most water Pokemon would just be full of cum.
Yeah.
You know, they have all the extra water.
Oceans of cum.
You know, and think about it. You know, Blastoises, they got those fucking water cannon things.
When they come, they just shoot.
It's just, it's white instead of water.
It's like when whales come, it's like hundreds of gallons, apparently. And yeah, you thought the water was salty.
Oh, that's why the ocean's salty. We fucking learned it's whale cum.
Yep.
And fish cum and everything else. Oh, my God. Speaking of fish, it was the most awful thing. It was one of those...
I don't like this segue.
No, it's a fantastic segue. It's about cum and fish.
Okay.
Which is fantastic. So
we're not talking about the Fish Police fandom.
No, that show only got like 6 episodes. Don't worry about it. It had a comic. So did
Capital Critters, and there's still porn of them online.
Well, let me tell the story, and I'll tell you another obscure fact. Right. Okay. So it was one of those videos with like a nature documentary about like the mating habits of salmon or something like this.
Okay.
Except,
oh god, that video,
they overlaid hentai audio with it. So it's the fish with its mouth open, they're doing the wiggle and they're spraying the eggs and the cum everywhere in the water, except it's
ah, ah, ah. I know what you're talking. I saw it on Twitter. It's really funny.
No, so speaking of obscure ass Rule 34,
yeah,
there was some Christian kids show. Some
VeggieTales?
No. Well, I'm okay. Sure there's porn of VeggieTales, like Larry the Cucumber being used in ways that God intended perfectly.
I'm gonna make you a cucumber.
But it was this like random ass, like it was there, like the most obscure Rule 34 you can find, and it was like this character, like this one super obscure Christian children's show had like six images of like two characters.
Oh god.
And that was like the winner of the thread. It was like this super obscure show that I'd never heard of in a million fucking years. And it was just like characters getting fucked. And I'm just like, yeah, Rule 34 exists. There's porn of it.
And they're not Christian anymore.
So
here's a Tumblr question. Hey, was wondering if there was a working link to the Telegram.
So,
no, there's not. Archived. We need to update the Tumblr with the
link. We need to update it because the code gets refreshed from time to time. I think it like does automatically, but also like sometimes you get an influx of people that ought not to be in there, like random Russians. And then you have to be like, oh, well, that code got places that not ought not to be. Boop.
Mm.
And then you have to regen it, and then all the codes you put out there stop working. So
yeah.
That just means we need to tweet the current join code from the Twitter account. It's been interesting to see, like, the fluctuations. Like, unlike in Telegram, or not Telegram, but Discord, where you can, like, purge people that have been inactive for, like, 30 days or more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a really good, solid core of people in our Discord, our Telegram chat. It's super busy.
Yeah.
Full of porn. But there's people that haven't been active in a while, but you don't, like, actively, you can't actively purge them instead of going, like, oh, this person's not been on in, like, a month or two.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just, like, boot. But it doesn't take any bandwidth for them to be there.
Yeah.
They just probably, like, have a super low on a list, and there's, like, 11,000 notifications sitting waiting to be looked at.
Yeah, I don't read everything in our chat. It just...
I don't either. I'm just like, if I'm actually participating, and it's like, oh, look, somebody's throwing an ocean of porn, that's cool. Oh, look, Rahata brought his porn train. Today's theme, mice. Today's theme, lions. So I will update that.
Okay. You do that. Do you want to get the next one?
Whew.
No, go ahead and read it.
Okay. Kpup88 asked the question. Hey, I've been listening to your podcast for some time now. Love what you do. Just want to know, is there anyone out there who is a furry but is a diaper lover outside of the furry community, and what is your take on the whole diaper thing?
I'm sure there are people that are...
Yeah, that's like ABDL is what it's called, and it's totally a thing outside of furry. It's something kinky non-furries do, too, so...
And I know a couple of furries that participate in that community outside of the fandom.
So, that totally exists. Personally, totally not my thing.
Yeah.
Please don't crinkle at me.
Yeah, totally not my thing. You know, you do you, but preferably not at cons.
And just, yeah, totally not my thing. That's pretty much it. So, there's a comment.
On one of our Patreons.
Oh.
Aw. Emails are great, but I'm still more than happy listening to the cast talk for hours.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay, people are appreciative of us nattering on about random topics. Yay. And I do hope that our more recent tack of basically having show notes, having a show outline helps.
Yeah.
Because it's not like, oh, wait, I forgot the thing I wanted to talk about. No, I have a fucking list of things on my phone.
Yes.
And Fuzz and I, when we're at dinner, we're like, oh, yeah, we need to talk about that. Talk about that. It's actually worked out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So this one's interesting. So.
In that it is an actual email.
Yes, it is an actual email of decent length. Cool. So, this one's titled Charity Cases. Hey guys, figure I'd write in to distract us all from the unbearable heaviness of being for a few minutes with general solicitation of advice and encouragement rather than a specific question. So, I have a friend who is a minor, recently turned 17, and he terrifies me because it's like looking through a time portal at a younger version of myself, except somehow he's even more of a flaming garbage fire of a person than I was when I was 17. Therein lies the problem. He's reached out to me after reading some of my mature fan fixture of a extremely popular 2015 meme game that shall remain nameless, and so our friendship was immediately framed in terms of being both openly sex-aware, if not directly sexual, and rife with the shitposting and self-deprecation of the Chans. It started out with me editing some of his work, moved on to discussing ideas for stories, became something of a casual internet friendship, then quickly devolved into me being his therapy companion dog who comes up with not-quite-RP story scenarios on demand. You're his green text bitch, aren't you? Having been on the other side of this particular relationship dynamic in the past, I recognized the warning signs and pulled way the hell back to the friendship and some light emotional support stage and have been carefully managing the amount of contact and lines in the sand ever since. After talking to him about how treating me like a Star Trek-style holodeck for new and inventive lewd story ideas was not okay, he literally asked me to keep an eye on where the line was for him and speak up if it was crossed, which brings me to the thing that's been bothering me. Having been basically this kid in the past, I know that where he needs more than anything else is someone else who's willing to put up with his bullshit while he finds himself, who's willing to hear about all his developing self, including his burgeoning sexuality, who is willing to give out sensible advice and have that advice be routinely ignored so that the kid can make the same mistakes we all make when we're 17 and sad and dumb and full of hormones and convinced that if we don't find true love right now, we will literally die. Well, if the kid's a ferret, then he might. But, anyways.
Or a Vulcan.
Yeah. Ponfar is serious fucking business, man. It's also a huge drag. Talking to him feels like work in the worst way sometimes. On good days, he's a good kid and fun to talk to. On bad days, he's a moody teenager. Or worse, desperate for affection and attention of any kind, regardless of its morality or legality. For reference, I'm nearly 10 years his senior, regardless of the fact that I'm in a committed relationship, that you couldn't pay me to touch that hot mess with a 10-foot pole. This has resulted in times where I just don't feel like responding to him for days, if not weeks at a time, watching the unread, "Hello?" messages pile up in Telegram 20 messages deep feels bad because, again, I've been there. But having been there, I know that I could spend literally every waking moment pouring attention into him and it wouldn't ever be enough. Clearly, the solution is wait 5 years and you'll grow out of the worst of this, but in the meantime, what do you guys think of my hands-off, my sanity-first approach? Is it better than nothing? Should I have noped out months ago? I know it's not my job to personally intervene with every sob story sad boy I meet, but I have a heart, dammit, and I know how much being a sob story sad boy sucks. If only we could all fast forward through being teenagers. Thanks for reading. Yeah, the quill thing. Oh man, I remember those days. We were all there at some point.
Yeah.
Now, maybe you didn't have the internet to be a sad sack on then.
I didn't.
No.
I was going to get offended at the ageism, and then I was like, no, it's true.
Yeah.
I didn't.
I'm stating a fact, Fuzz. I'm not being ageist.
I had to telegram furries across state lines the old-fashioned way. That's right. I'm so sad.
It's like, I wish someone would come cuddle me and or snug. Yeah. Yif, colon, 3.
Beep, 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 beep. Omer.
Stop. And then they had sex. Stop.
Omer, stop. Notices your bulge. Stop.
Whoa, what is this? Stop. Please respond. So.
LOL, stop.
So you're actually probably handling this in a really good way. Being hands-off when it comes to
17-year-olds is always a good idea.
Yes, in the very direct sense, being literally hands-off with 17-year-olds is a very good idea that will keep your ass out of prison. But this is not the situation that we're discussing here. Just in general, don't molest the 17-year-olds. But when it comes to this kind of online stuff, yeah, your sanity does need to come first. Because, yeah, you have it pretty much pegged. He's a hormonal kid. He's not baked yet. He's got 8 years till he is.
Mm-hmm.
About 25 is when you get about fully done in the head, and you're a mature adult, supposedly. At least that's when you start to chill the fuck out. That's when I chilled the fuck out. Mm-hmm. I was 25. And, man, I was a dipshit. Like, and I think that's one of the nice things about being adult is you can recognize the fact that, man, I was a dipshit.
Yeah.
And try to be better. But as an adult, you also, that's why we kind of do this, is we try to give advice to people younger than us. So, hey, maybe you can avoid some of the same pitfalls and dumb bullshittery that we did. So what you're doing is good, I think. And being hands-off is also really good because...
I almost wonder if, like you said, if he's being hands off enough. Like, it sounds like it's already kind of wearing on him. And yeah, there's the sense of guilt of seeing the unread telegram messages piling up.
You hate me? Semicolon, yes, I dash, do. Semicolon, frowny face. Stop. Colon V.
oh my God.
Picture of crying kitten.
I literally strangle you with an XLR cable.
Oh no.
yeah, like, if this is starts to, like, really kind of wear on you, I would be like, you know what? I'm sorry. I have real life stuff going on. I can't talk to you right now or ever.
See, this is actually one of those times where I'm, like, vaguely happy that I don't
have kids.
Well, I don't have kids, but I also don't tend to attract this kind of peer fan or fanboy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I suck at networking and talking to people in a lot of ways. And so,
yeah, it's true.
Well,
I don't know. I'm just,
yeah, because I put out a show on the internet every week for 8 years at this point almost.
Mm.
I suck at communication, but that actually, no, I mean, when it comes to, like, random people communicating at me, like, on the internet, I'm like, yeah, that's nice.
And then, yeah,
talk to them again. Because it's just one of those things, like, I don't need hangers-on.
It was a bigger problem for me back when I was actually active on instant messengers.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, when I was just writing a bit, and I had a few fans because of that, and I would chat to people on AIM or ICQ. And, you know, so, yeah, I would meet a lot of people that way, and I was younger then, and...
And not occasionally tired and yawning at 9 in the evening.
Yeah, sorry. Occasionally people want to pour their hearts out at me or something like that. But that happens a lot less since I basically am not present on IMs.
Yep.
And haven't been for, like, nearly 10 years probably.
I mean, Telegram to a degree, but even then you can ignore it.
I've had a couple of people since then that have done the "do you want to be friends, let's talk,"
let's, and just RP, lol. And, well,
they don't RP. They just, like, for the first few days, like, message me every day, and I just basically wrote a big long thing. I was like, look, I don't use Telegram like an instant messenger. I'm not on instant messenger. If you have something important to ask me about a particular thing, sure, but, like, I use Telegram mostly for coordinating projects with writers and artists or other people in working in the company, and occasionally dropping in on the show, which, you know, is, I don't want to say it's quote work related, but it's related to a project I'm on.
Yeah.
You know, I don't advertise my presence on Telegram in a message me kind of way. 'Cause I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But going back to the email, you're probably doing it right. And,
yeah,
you know, you can't save them all. And even, you know, like you said, even if you poured attention at this kid every hour of the day, it wouldn't be enough. Mm-hmm. So you got to, I guess, like, temper his expectations some.
Yeah.
By being present when you're available to be present for him.
Right.
And that's up to you. So it definitely is a you first thing. Don't go overextending yourself for some kid who wants you to write lusty green texts about, you know,
lusty what text?
Green text.
Greed?
Green.
Green?
It's a storytelling method used on, like, 4chan.
Oh.
Because I'm pretty sure if he's talking about a 2015 meme game, he's talking about Undertale.
I'm guessing, yeah.
And, you know, sexy goat stories, right? It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, sans, or it's like weird vor with sans, but he's a skeleton, but I don't know, it's vor still. Or they want to fuck the goat.
What are you talking
about? I'm talking about video game bullshit, Fuzz.
I know, I'm just like, wait, what?
The internet's a very weird place.
God, what is this internet?
Like, anyway.
God, I realize I sound like a fucking 60-year-old right now. Yeah. I'm just like, what?
I look left and, like, somebody posted porn onto my, like, main timeline. Who is that person and why am I following them on my main timeline? Well, it's my furry timeline, but it's like, What's going on with that? So I think you're doing fine, yeah. I'm assuming it's yeah, because it's
Yeah.
It's not an L, because there's proper proper capitalization and stuff throughout this, so I'm going to say it's Duluftagan.
So I'm going to read this last one. It's a Tumblr question. It is anonymous. Hello, Notcasters. I just wanted to ask you all a question, one that I find myself thinking of a lot of time. When do we consider furs that haven't been seen or heard from in years dead or missing? I was spurred onto this thought by reading some old stories by Prometheus Dragon on FA. He hasn't been seen or heard from since late 2009. Hope you guys and gal can give your opinions on this topic and anyone who may be like Prometheus. Sincerely, an anonymous black and green rubber wolf. That's an interesting question. This was might have been more of an issue years ago, but usually these days, like, people are on social media.
Yeah.
And, like, when somebody dies in the community, it tends to get out pretty quick. Because I know people have died that I haven't even known, and you see it pop up on Twitter.
Yeah.
You know, folks that knew this person and stuff like that. And, like, yeah, you feel bad, like, someone in the community died. So, you know, it may just be a situation where they just left the fandom or real life responsibilities kicked in. You know, they could have had an emergency in the family or something. I mean, you know, a sick family member will fucking take you out of all your hobbies for like years sometimes. It just depends.
Well, like this recent stuff with my sister took me out of everything for like 3 months.
Yeah. You know, maybe message if there's like some mutual friends or other of people that you know knew them or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know them, but you never know. I mean, it could be completely benign. It could be just they just lost interest.
Yeah.
You know,
well, or I mean, they moved to another platform. Where, you know, furry is for a lot of us a lifetime fandom. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But there's kids that are in it like anime. You know, most people are involved in the anime fandom for like 2-3 years and punch the fuck out.
Uh-huh.
And they go off to other things. But then there's lifers like me. And same with furry is like,
yeah,
been involved. But it is also real sad when you do find out that, oh, yeah, no, that person actually did die.
Yeah.
There was a military brony guy who I don't remember his name off the top of the head, but he was involved in the early fandom. And, basically, he was military, and he got deployed. He's like, hey, I'll see you guys in 6 months. And
I heard about this.
We came out on the 3-year anniversary, and one of my spook friends, he like actually works for the government in some form of spook, did some digging and found out, no, he was killed by an IED in Kabul, like more or less a little bit before he was supposed to come back.
Wow. I remember seeing that tweet. Where like, somebody was like, hey, we haven't heard from this guy in 3 years. Does anyone know if he ever came back? What happened to him?
And some people did some digging and were like, oh.
That sucks.
Yeah. And like we found, and then the other day, some artist girl who I'd never heard of, just like, yo, this artist got killed by a drunk driver. And it's like, fuck. It's like some like 19-year-old girl artist in the pony community had done like a few dozen pieces, some nice topography work and stuff. You know, it's just like, hey, this person never heard of is now dead. You now know that.
And yeah.
It's like, oh, they produced some cute stuff. That's a damn shame.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
I mean, it is a lot. Like, there's a lot of people from the early fandom who, like, early furry fandom specifically. Mm-hmm. Pony fandom's only been around 7 years at this point.
Yeah.
Well, current pony fandom. Other pony fandoms have been around for like 30 goddamn years. But anyways, like in the furry fandom, like there's people that just poofed. Like, when people, like, when shit happens, like, I'm leaving the fandom. These fuckers meant it. And because of the disconnected way of the internet, people, like, they abandon an email address. They disappear. Like, I abandoned my, you know, pony.
OC.
OC.
Yeah.
You know, and switched that account around to actual real name. Because, like, what the fuck ever, right?
Your Ponsona.
Yeah. And actually, I did it in a way, though, that I made a secondary account and then, like, hot swapped it from two different computers so that nobody could steal my old name and then use it for nefarious purposes, which had happened to other people who had been like, fuck you, I'm leaving the fandom. And then immediately their things get snatched up by people with nefarious purpose.
Mm.
So I covered that pretty well. But it's just one of those things that, like, you know, people leave. They operate under an alias.
I just had a dumb idea, sorry.
And they fuck off.
I want to do a noir book with dolphins called Nefarious Porpoise.
Oh my god. All right, there's your writing prompt for the week, kids. I want you writer friends write into the show and give us an excerpt from your story, Nefarious Porpoise. So the it is sad though that when people like nope the fuck out, it's even worse though when like they delete all their shit. That's what really sucks is when like of someone who's written something cool and then they're like, nope, done with this shit. And they're done. Delete all their stuff. There's no backups. It's all gone.
Yeah.
I mean,
that sucks.
What's also like, you know, early furry comics, early furry art, you know, thanks to VCL and stuff. There's art that dates back from the mid 90s and before, but like there's still, it's still that fragility of like, yeah, there's some stuff that these artists, these people might not be alive anymore, or they might have fucked off from the fandom, but this digital echo of their former lives exists. You know, we now live in the age where kids grown up without never knowing the world without the internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, so like there's always going to be a digital trace. But for some of us, you know, it's like there weren't, you know, there was no digital footprint until this point in our lives. And even then it's ephemeral. Like, I think the furthest back my digital footprint goes is 2004. Maybe a little earlier.
I think, I mean, I've got stories I posted probably around 2000, 2001, something like that, I think. That's, I mean, and I know I've got internet postings going back to like 97 because news groups were a thing back when I first got online.
So
it's kind of nice in a way that like you'll always be remembered in some kind of way, like there'll be some trace of people left behind.
It's like, remember when this remember this person was like big in the pony community? Yeah. Too bad that's over with.
Yep, they'll never be ponies again.
Nope, ponies are over. Ponies are canceled. They're all furries now. It's like they have decreed that pony is canceled. You must now be furries.
Yes, whether you want to be or not.
Yep. That's the internet. So I think we're coming up on the end of the show at this point. It's past an hour, and unless you've got anything exciting from the internet.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Oh, wow.
What? Some hot porn in the Telegram chat?
No, Zap just posted a link to me in Telegram of a Under Siege Steven Seagal, Under Siege with Steven Seagal, a movie poster from Ghana from 1992.
And oh my god!
It is an artist's rendition of the poster.
He looks like he got Bell's palsy on the left side of his face.
Yeah, but I guess they didn't have access to, like
a photo of Steven Seagal?
Well, no,
the actual poster art, yeah, right?
So they had to paint their own.
Oh, so, you know, I did think of something else.
Okay.
And I think this is public knowledge. If it's not, you can cut it. But, like, Furry Fiesta had, like, a 26% increase in pre-reg.
Yep.
So,
well, Path was posting it to his several thousand Twitter followers, so it's fairly public
knowledge. I thought he probably did, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yep. 2 weeks from now, I'll be in the game room going, God damn it.
Why did I do this? Why?
It keeps happening. I don't have any new video games this year. I hope somebody brings a Switch. But there's no good games to play on the Switch. Fuck.
Or at least there aren't any for a...
good
for
multiplayer games, let's say.
Yeah, for that it's environment.
Like, but what if I could be the horse in Legend of Zelda? Okay, one person's Wolf Link, one person's a dog, one person's the horse, and one person's Link. 4-player Zelda. Okay, this works. I want to be the good boy. No, I will be the good boy.
That's cute.
Hylian Retriever.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of the dog, right? There's multiple different dogs, and you can befriend them all.
Multiple dogs? You can be friends with all the dogs?
Yes. Yes, you can ride bears, you can ride deer. You can ride horses. There are various types of horses.
Can you ride Link?
No. But you can ride big bears. You can ride small bears.
You can only ride Link on E621, probably.
I wonder if you can ride goats. I don't think you can. You can get headbutted down a mountain and die.
Really?
Yeah.
Fun for the whole family.
Yeah. There was this very fun image. It was a little gif of Link running up a mountainside, and he startles a goat, and the goat headbutts his ass, and he falls down the mountain and dies.
Good grief.
Like, oh god, the goats just poof. Like, the impact only did like half a heart worth of damage, except then he just rolled down the hill and broke all his arms.
all two
of his arms, and the rest of him too. He broke his everything.
Ouch.
But yeah, I don't have any, like, I don't really have anything terribly new this year for gaming and PS. I know I have people bring in stuff, but like, I don't own an Xbox, I don't own a PS4, I don't own a Switch, I don't even own a fucking Wii U. Now, we got a couple of Wii U's that we're gonna be using for the charity tournament.
Yes.
So I have a couple of Wii U's with all the controllers we need to play 8-player for both, which is, or no, 4-player on both. Yeah. Anyways, a large number of players and all the DLC and shit, which I still have to set up.
Down with DLC.
Yeah, you know me. But there was a dude saying he's going to bring his Rock Band set up this year.
That'd be cool.
And other stuff, so.
I think Tieran's going to have a birthday party. Cool.
Like, I think next year may be the year where we start looking at actually having an outside group come in and run the game room that has, like, their own consoles and shit that is more up to date than what I own personally, because my department never gets a lot of budget, so.
Well, you can ask for more budget, but you might just ask for more budget to have a group come out there so you don't have to source games every year.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's for that's for future Saverin to worry about.
Right, because the con is getting to be kind of a big concern, you know?
We have, it's no longer like, oh god, I need $500, I sure hope we can scrape it together, when AV's over there going, I need 25 grand, and I'm like, fuck you!
Well, I mean, might have like 3,500 people this year.
Oof, I'm excited. Something. Like, our baby's gotten so big.
Yeah.
But we shall see.
Yep.
We're going to wrap this up. You can, again, email us, notcast@foxsuffers.com. You can send us anonymous questions via our Tumblr, notcast.com. Take you there. Follow me on Twitter @SaverinDrake. Follow me on Twitch @Saverin. I just now crossed 200 followers on Twitch. Yay! Cool. And I haven't streamed in like a week.
Like and subscribe.
I need to finish Night in the Woods. Like, I've gotten maybe an hour into it and it's really charming, but like the one time I did stream, like, I got called away. But like, I need to find the time to do it. But what really sucks is like, for some reason, like, turns out if you're watching Netflix, it doesn't want to stream that well. I don't know. It could just be my computer or some weird network setting. Anyways, I need to finish that. I'm still posting things occasionally to my YouTube channel, but with my PC down, I can't record anything right now. I posted a couple cool things that I think Heartbound is still in the process of being crowdfunded. I did actually put money down on that one. It's a Earthbound / Undertale looking pixel art. It's like 16-bit looking video game. There's a demo and I played through the demo and I liked it a lot. I liked it enough to put down money on it. So check that out. And I still just need to, like, I have such a weird scattered audience on my YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Like, I need to talk to other successful-ish furry YouTubers and be like, what the fuck do you guys do and how do you mold your audience? Because I've got all these people that follow me for disparate reasons and they don't all like the same thing. Anyways, so that's me. Wank, wank, wank. Fuzz, where can people find you?
At Fuzzwolf on Twitter and FA and pretty much everywhere. You can follow the print side of my publishing business is FurPlanet. It's @FurPlanet on Twitter, FurPlanet.com. Our ebook store is BadDogBooks.com, @BadDogBooks on Twitter. We'll have like two or three new releases for Furry Fiesta. We just brought out a bunch of new stuff for FC. So we'll have a lot of newish material at Fiesta. We are going to be at FWA. So Savard and Tyrion are taking the For Planet table out to Foi.
Yep.
We missed last year, but we got in on the waiting list this year. And they have a new dealer's den coordinator. They're actually, it's kind of interesting. Apparently, FWA is doing an app this year, and something the dealer's den had asked us for was URLs and descriptions and like a company icon. So I guess if you go to the FWA app, like all of the dealers' info and little pictures and stuff should show up on the app, which is kind of cool. I like that they're doing some extra stuff. Also, FWA has a writing track staff member this year, which I don't believe they had before. So they actually have somebody there trying to coordinate some writing programming. So that's a good sign because that area has been lacking at FWA. And so I hope that it grows. That would be kind of a cool thing. Actually, speaking of the writing track, it's kind of cool that Fiesta has like 25 panels on the writing track this year, which is definitely an increase from last year. It's good progress. If you're listening to this and you're going to Fiesta and you're interested in writing stuff, please come to the writing panels because I think I mentioned this before, but every year our scheduling coordinator, the con scheduling coordinator, goes into the panels and takes a note of how many people are in each panel. And, you know, we want to kind of, I would like to see a good turnout for the writing track, because then that means more panels in the writing track or a larger panel room or something like that. You know, I would really like to see Fiesta be like have a really strong writing presence. And this will be a good year for it because we have a writing guest of honor in Ursula Vernon. And there are a lot of writers that are coming to Fiesta that haven't been before. So I'm excited about that. And that's basically it for me now. So I guess we'll see you next week.
Yeah. Fiesta in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
So on that note, good night.
And give my people air.